Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. If this is your first time to join us, I'd like to invite you to visit our website, huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there, and if you have any questions or comments about the show, I would certainly welcome those. You can send me an email at scott@huntingtheway.com. Well, a great privilege today to have in studio a gentleman I've been trying to get on for several months and a real good friend of mine, and that's Pastor Bill Marshall from St. Joseph, Missouri. Brother Bill, how are you, sir?
It's a pleasure to be with you today. Thanks so much for having me in.
Boy, it's so great to see you and have you in. And again, we've been trying to do this for a long time, so great to have you in. But I want to start out today, and then we'll get to a couple other topics here. But just with your testimony, and take it that in detail, because, boy, I tell you, it's an outstanding transformation of what God's done for you and how he changed your life. So just take a minute and tell us a little bit about your life.
Well, I'm very thankful for what God has done in my life. I was not raised in a Christian home. In fact, my dad was a drunkard. My mom tried real hard to keep the home together and did. But my dad liked his drink. And the first time I remember being so drunk I couldn't stand up, I was probably about 8 years old. My dad liked to give me liquor. He thought it was funny. His friends thought it was funny. And being raised in that type of an atmosphere and being in bar rooms in Oklahoma as a young kid, I learned to have the wrong appetite, the appetite for the things of this world and this flesh. I learned to have a taste for alcohol and learned how to get my hands on it even when Dad wasn't around. Drinking on the streets at a very early age. And then I smoked marijuana for the first time when I was 13 years old. And by the time I was 14 years old, I was doing a lot of other drugs, just anything to kind of have an escape. My dad was not a happy-go-lucky type of a drinker. He was more of an angry man when he drank. And so caused a lot of turmoil in our home, and anything that I could do for an escape, I did. By the time I was 16, I was pretty much drinking every day besides all of the drugs that I was doing. Just my life was a real mess. Even at the age of 16, I was headed down the wrong road at a very high rate of speed. Then when I was 17, my dad and I had a horrible fight one day in our home, and he threw me out, told me I didn't have a place there anymore. And I went about my way. And not long after that, at the age of 17, I did probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my life. And I used the needle for the first time and became an intravenous drug user. And then for the next 10 years, I was off and on the needle, always into drugs and alcohol of different kinds, and up and down and in jail and just a mess trying to keep my life going. But it was really in bad shape.
Sure.
And I really didn't feel like I had any hope of my life being any different, of being any better. But there were some Christian people that were praying for me. And because of that, God began to work in my heart. And through a series of events, I heard the gospel, and that Jesus Christ was born, the very Son of God, that he lived a sinless, perfect life, that he went to an old rugged cross and suffered horribly, shed his blood for mankind, and was laid in a tomb, dead, and rose on the third day, and that if I was willing to turn to him and trust him as my Savior, that he could save me from my sin, give me a different life. And God really began to work on my heart about that. And through a series of events, again, that are very be long and drawn out, I woke up one morning on my couch in my apartment, and I just knew that's what I needed. I knew I needed God more than I needed anything else in the world. And I got down beside my coffee table and cried out to God and asked Him to save me, trusted Christ as my Savior. And that day, at the age of 27, in April 1984, God saved my soul and put me on a different path, put me on a different road, and has been working on me ever since that time. And gave me a life, has given me a life that I never dreamed I could have.
Absolutely. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. If you're just joining us, my guest today, Pastor Bill Marshall from St. Joseph, Missouri. And again, you know, this is something to where I think a lot of times, Brother Bill, that people, you know, they get saved, they accept Christ as their Savior, and there are some changes that come immediately, okay? There are some that take time, especially after a life of addiction, and like in your case. What would you say to someone that may be listening out there today that said, you know, boy, I prayed a prayer like that, but nothing really changed in my life. But I meant it when I prayed it, but nothing really changed. What would be your advice for someone like that?
You know, I'm thankful. I'm very, very thankful for the things that God has done in my life. But God didn't force me to get saved that day in April of 84. And He's never forced me to do anything since that time either. I was working in an oil field. I was a driller on a drilling rig when I got saved. And, of course, I had a terrible vocabulary. Pretty much had to learn how to talk all over again. And one of the first things that God dealt with me about was my horrible cussing and just dirty, foul mouth. And I had to decide I just didn't want that anymore. And it was the same thing over and over as God worked in my heart about different things. And every step I had to decide as God dealt with me about these things through whether the preaching of His Word or just reading the Bible on my own, I had to decide whether or not I was going to do what God wanted me to do instead of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, because of some religious influence that's out there, that some people are just waiting for God to do something in their life. And they even ask the questions, and I've run up against this somewhat being a pastor. Well, Pastor, how come God doesn't do this for me? And how come God doesn't do this for me? And how come God doesn't change this in my life? And it's not so much that God isn't doing His part, it's that we're not doing our part. That when God deals with us about something, that we don't make the decision we need to make to get on that path. Such as the hard life that I came out of with drugs and alcohol. I didn't necessarily want to break ties with the people that I was running with at that time, but I knew that that lifestyle had to go. After I got saved, I knew that drugs weren't good. I knew that drinking wasn't good. I knew that that was what had destroyed my life and got it to where it was. And so I decided, with God's help, I don't want drugs anymore, and I don't want drinking anymore, and I don't want the party life anymore. So it wasn't so much that I told the people at that time, hey, listen, I don't even want to be around you. It's that I told them, I'm not going to drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to smoke dope anymore, and I'm not going to snort coke anymore, and I'm not going to shoot dope anymore, and I'm not going to go these places anymore. And then they just started leaving,
right?
Which was a hard time, of
sure.
course.
Because we think those people are our really good friends at that point in our life.
Yes, they had been there. You know, we'd done a lot of things together, all those different things. But I realized that, and I don't want to talk ugly toward anyone, but they were good time friends. As long as I was doing what they wanted to do, you know, I could be a part of their circle. And when I decided I wanted my life to be different than that, they didn't want to. Of course, I shared Christ with them thinking that they would want it. I thought after I trusted Christ and He saved my soul, I thought, man, this is the best kept secret in the world. Everybody's going to want this. And I was mistaken, even though when I shared it with them and what God had done in my heart, many of them, they wanted to continue to do what they did, and they can.
Sure.
And even after we're saved, if we want to decide to go ahead in sin and live that type of life, it's not like God will hold us back from it. He wants us to submit ourselves to his way because, well, it is the best way, but because we love him, because he was willing to send his only begotten son to die for our sin, that we might be saved from sin. And he wants us to love and respect him enough that when he speaks to us through his word, that we would know that he wants the best for our life and we'll just submit.
Mm-hmm.
People think that they can have what God has to offer and still live the life that they were living beforehand, and it's just not working out for people. I see it way too often.
So you accept Christ, your Savior, you're saved now. What happens the next 5-10 years?
You know, I had some real struggles in my life. I wish I could say that from the time that I was saved, I listened to everything that God dealt with me about and have lived a quote-unquote perfect Christian life since that time. But it's not so. I struggled just like anybody else has struggled and even fought with God about some things along the way. But I learned that even though I can choose to go ahead and sin if I want to, I can't choose the consequences that come from that sin.
Well,
and there's
true.
Always a price to pay with sin. And finally, God got it through my thick head that if I would just listen to him and submit myself, that things are going to go much better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to a place where I saw the benefits of making the right choices. And I knew that if I was going to make it, that I'm going to have to be in church on Sundays and Wednesdays and any other time that I can be in church. I'm going to have to be in the Word of God every day. I'm going to have some personal time with God every day, asking him to help me to be who he wants me to be. A lot of people consider their prayer life like a wish list. And they have this list of things, and God, I want this, and God, I want this, and God, I want this, and God, I need this. And it's not wrong for us to bring our needs to God. He wants us to do that because he's our Heavenly Father. But prayer is not so much about us getting what we want. Prayer is about us submitting ourselves to what God wants in our life. And if we would pray more for a servant spirit, a humble heart, a willingness to do what God would have us to do, those are the types of prayers that he can answer because he's the one that saved my soul and he's the one that changes my life as I submit and do what he would have me to do. It's by his grace. And if we would spend more time praying for what he wants in our life than just what we want,
sure,
we'll see our Christian life grow and go forward. And so key things, going to church, reading your Bible, praying each day, telling others that what God has done for you, it's all a part of, it just works all together to get us to where we need to be with God.
Right. Let's say maybe there's a family out there listening, and maybe it could be a husband, it could be a wife, because alcohol, drugs can certainly affect men and women. But let's take the role as a wife now sitting in. Maybe they've got a husband in that condition right now that's drinking, you know, everything, and the family life is not what they want it to be. And we'll take this point that the wife's a Christian. How does a wife handle that with a husband that may not want them to go to church, may not, you know, support them in that? How does that wife handle that type of relationship when she's really trying to do the right thing? And we see that a lot. Whereas she's trying to do the right thing, wants to be in church, but the husband just wants no part of that.
It's so very hard, and we do see that way too much. The big key is for the wife to be submitted to God and doing what God would have them to do. They need the fellowship of the saints. They need to go to church. They need to continue to pray, seek the Lord, be in their Bible. They can't change their husband. It's not going to happen. Only God can do that. And so she needs to be praying for him very regularly and asking God to do in his heart what only God can do. And she needs to be going to church and getting the support she needs and hearing the preaching and the teaching and help that to strengthen her. But she also needs to be submissive to her husband the way the Bible says that she should. Not to the point of doing anything sinful, If the husband demands that she goes to bars or drinks alcohol or smokes pot or any of those different things, she does not have to submit to him in those areas. I believe God will protect her through all of those things. But at the very same time, she needs to have that meek and quiet spirit because, well, as most men can tell you, nagging from a wife just does not get much done. And it's the same way in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
God pretty much says in his word, in a nutshell, if you want to try to change your spouse, go right ahead, work all you can. But if you really want your spouse to change, leave it up to me. Bring them to me, pray for them, and ask me to do what you can't do. It's a really hard place for a husband or a wife to be, and I've seen it in both ways. But trusting God and doing things his way is what's going to get things accomplished.
Right. Now let's take the role of the kids. And, you know, people listen to this show of all ages. Let's say you're in your teenage years or early 20s, and maybe you're still at home, whatever the case may be, and you see that role with a father. How do the kids handle that?
You know, that gets to be very, very tough because kids tend to learn by what they see even more than what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an old thing has been for years and years and years from a parent, now listen, you do as I say and not as I do. I can remember even my dad saying that years ago. It didn't work. I mean, I just ended up living the same life that he was living. And it's a real struggle for the children. And I can think of cases even now of where the husband does not come to church, but the wife does and brings the kids. And in the past several years, I can see where it's a struggle for those children that their dad sits at home, but they're in church all the time. And if they don't decide that they're going to pursue a personal walk with God, it can't be mom's walk with God, and it certainly can't be choosing to do what dad is doing as far as a Christian walk, which is nothing. They have to decide that they must keep their eyes on the Lord and pray for that parent and be the example. I have seen in times past where parents were influenced by their children being faithful to God and being faithful to church and faithful to pray and faithful to live a righteous life instead of the life that all the other kids their age were living. I've seen God use that. Again, they can't change their father or their mother. Only God can do that. But if they will remain faithful and they will pray, it's amazing how God can use a testimony of someone else to change another person's life.
Sure. And, you know, we've seen this as well, where someone prays for someone 15 years, 20 years. So if you're listening to this show today and you think, you know, I'm just kind of at the end of my rope, I've been praying for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, keep praying.
Oh, most okay? Definitely.
I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, my sister I know and my brother-in-law, Dave Pittman, which you've heard on this show as well, I mean, I know they prayed for me for a number of years, you know, and I grew up in church and had I had the church life, just not a changed life. And you know what, really, and I've tried to analyze this over the last several years, but I wasn't really trying to fool anyone. I'd grown up in church in the nursery, you know. I remember making a profession of faith as a kid and everything, and then I just thought this is what you do, you know.
You learn how to live the life.
Yeah, exactly. And Brother Bill and I have a very special relationship. He was preaching at our camp, Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, July 4th, 2006, and wasn't really truly even a salvation message. But after that message, you know, I went to him after our camp, and that's the night I got it all settled and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I will tell you, you know, it's a danger sometimes, and we were kind of talking about this last night, but I think it's a danger sometimes of growing up in church and being around it so much where it just becomes part of you, and yet deep down in your heart, you know your life's never changed. Because when my dad led my wife to the Lord, Victoria, I watched her life for 9 months, And it didn't take long. I mean, it took that 9 months for me to see my life never changed like that, you know.
Right.
And again, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you don't stumble and all that. But, you know, I knew at that point I was lost, man. I knew it, you know. And there should be a change. So I guess what I'd like to kind of gravitate to it now is talking about, you know, I'll meet people and they'll go, I'm a believer, you know. And I think that's just a contemporary term, but I just want to make sure people understand you can believe a lot, and that doesn't mean that you're trusting in the Lord and you've accepted Him as your Savior. We can believe there's a God.
It's true. That's very true. And let me just interject something real quick because you said about praying and continuing to pray. I prayed for my dad for 14 years after I got saved, and at the age of 76, he came to a meeting where I was preaching and trusted Christ as his Savior after 14 years of praying for him. There's a man in our church right now prayed for his mom 34 years to be saved. And here in the past several months, she trusted Christ as her Savior. So never give up praying for people, absolutely. You know, the Bible says that the devils believe that there's a God, and they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they tremble. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just believing. Truly, I was raised up in a generation where we prayed in school, and you heard a lot about God just from conversation and being around people, and people knew the Bible stories and different things. So even at the age of 27, as a hopeless dopehead, drunkard, I knew there was a God, and I knew Jesus Christ was his Son. I'd heard that. I believed those things. But I'd not yet trusted Christ as my Savior. The Bible says that salvation comes by repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is not changing your life and coming to God. Repentance is a change of heart. Mm-hmm. It's seeing things God's way and coming to that place where you're ready to turn from the way that you are going as far as your belief in eternal things, and you're willing to turn to God's way. You can't turn to God without turning away from something.
Sure.
And repentance is just a word that practically means about face. It's a turning. But for salvation's sake, it's a turning of the heart. Because if the heart turns, the rest of the body's going to turn. Things are going to change. So it's getting to that place where we say, I'm choosing God's way. And then trusting Christ as your Savior. Probably one of the most popular verses in the world is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has a chance to be saved. Because it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It doesn't say shall not perish.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the context of that, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was trying to convince Nicodemus, I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you need to turn to. And so Nicodemus, being a man of the Scriptures, he knew the Messiah was going to come, but he had to trust Christ, Jesus Christ, as being the Messiah. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God. Well, that's fine, but it's more than that. We have to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that Jesus wants those that believe in him to do is follow him. And so it all works together. My heart turns to God and God's way. I trust Christ as my Savior. If I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior and turn my heart to God's way, then it's going to be a life-changing experience because God does something supernaturally inside at that point. The Bible calls it being born again, and our spirit is quickened or made alive, and we can now understand the things of God. I remember getting saved and getting a Bible and starting to read the Bible, and it was like I couldn't believe the things I was seeing. And I remember thinking, how come no one's ever told me these things before or showed me these things before? But I couldn't have understood them. It was a spiritual, it's the spiritual part of the world that you can only understand after you've trusted Christ as your Savior. For someone to say, oh yes, I'm a believer, and have no interest in the Bible, no interest in God's Word, no interest in being around God's people, no interest in furthering their relationship, their closeness, their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, they may just be fooling themselves.
Absolutely. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, Pastor Bill Marshall from St. Joseph, Missouri. If you're ever in that area, I know Brother Bill would love to have you come and visit the church. Talk about kind of the area there of St. Joe your church is in.
Yes, we're about 1 hour north of Kansas City on Interstate 29, straight up out of Kansas City. Bible Baptist Temple is the name of the church. Kansas City, of course, is a familiar area to most people, where St. Joseph isn't. But St. Joseph is a very interesting place of a lot of history. Pony Express was started there. Aunt Jemima came from there. Walter Cronkite came from there. The Pony Express. Oh, I said that. Pony Express. First fireman's pole was used there. A lot of history. A lot of Civil War things there. But we certainly would love to have anybody stop by that's driving through.
Last minute and a half here. What do you love about being a pastor?
You know, the thing about being a pastor, I was in evangelism for 16 years and traveled and went to a lot of churches. And I've been pastoring now for 8 years. I love being a pastor because I have an opportunity not to only see people trust Christ as their Savior, but to be there with them and help them in their walk. Because the Christian walk is not a piece of cake. You have to apply yourself, and there's a lot to learn. But the Christian walk is the most rewarding walk that there is. And to be able to not only see people get saved, but to help them get established in their Christian walk and then begin to see God do things in their life that I'm not doing, but only God could do, and then see the joy that it brings about. I can think about several families in our church that is exactly what has happened. They've gotten saved. They've gone through discipleship. I've watched God in their life. Their life has changed, I mean, so drastically, and they're full of joy. There's nothing better than helping other people.
Absolutely. Our time has flown, but thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Pastor Bill Marshall from St. Joseph, Missouri. Be sure and check out our website, huntingtheway.com. Now listen, we talked about a few things about salvation and all. If you'd like more information on that, you can go to our website, huntingtheway.com. There's actually a spiritual checkup right there you can check. And then also there's a very clear plan of salvation. We would love to have you visit there. Again, thanks for joining us. I hope you have a great day. My name is Scott Whatley, and remember, God's way is the best way.